As the Democrats launched President Bill Clinton's re-election bid this week, they also kept one eye on the balance of power in Congress. One of the Democratic candidates granted the national spotlight in Chicago was Michaela Alioto, who's hoping to unseat California Republican Congressman Frank Riggs. It's one of several high-profile races this year in which outside interest groups and their money are expected to play a significant role. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
California's 1st District stretches from the Redwood Forest near the Oregon border, down through wine country, and across to suburban Solano County north of San Francisco. It's a sprawling, diverse district that hasn't re-elected an incumbent since 1988. This year, it's home to one of the most hotly contested races in the country. House Republicans are pulling out all the stops to re-elect Frank Riggs, even when that means embracing a candidate who gives new meaning to the phrase distancing himself from the leadership. When Majority Leader Dick Armey came out to the district last week for a Riggs fundraiser, Riggs himself was 3,000 miles away, watching as the Republicans' archenemy, President Clinton, signed the bill Armey had vowed to fight with every fiber of his being. Riggs' wife Kathy looked for the humor in the situation.
I know there's one person sort of ticked off that he's not here and why and where he is, but today Frank is at the White House while they do the signing of the minimum wage bill, which was the Riggs minimum wage bill.
That strangling sound may have been in jest, but it shows how far Republicans are willing to reach to hold on to their majority. It also reveals the fine line Riggs has to walk in this largely Democratic district. Despite Riggs' support for the minimum wage hike, the AFL-CIO smells an opportunity to return a seat to the Democrats and has already aired television ads attacking Riggs for his support of Medicare savings. A new round of ads was announced this week. Local union leaders are joining the effort. Laborer Ron Paltz says Riggs is trying to run away from his early support of the House Republican agenda.
Up until his first 14 months, he was strictly on the Gingrich line. When the primary came along and he found out he was going to have to run against someone, he started flip-flopping on the issues.
Riggs denies changing his views, but having won this seat in 1990, lost it in 92, and regained it in 94, he knows how easy it is to stumble here.
So I understand that I have to climb a pretty tall mountain every election, and I understand further that I've got sort of a bullseye painted on my back right now by a lot of the Washington special interest groups, beginning really with the big labor bosses back in Washington. And that's somewhat ironic because I think of myself as being a pro-labor Republican. I was a Teamster at age 18. As we just discussed, I offered the minimum wage.
Unions aren't the only outside group planning independent ad campaigns critical of Riggs. In its push for a Democratic majority, the National Abortion and Reproductive Rights Action League has targeted Riggs, even though he describes himself as pro-choice. NARAL and its Northern California affiliate say Riggs' votes to bar federally funded abortions for poor women are grossly out of step with his district. NARAL will be identifying abortion rights supporters in the district, especially Republican women. By law, such independent efforts may not be coordinated with campaigns, but they can still have a powerful impact through the use of phone banks, direct mail campaigns, and print and TV ads. In this case, the beneficiary will be first-time Democratic candidate Michaela Alioto. The 28-year-old is the latest Alioto to enter California politics. Her grandfather, Joe, is a former mayor of San Francisco, and her aunt Angela serves on the city's board of supervisors. Michaela Alioto has some Washington experience, 2.5 years working for Vice President Al Gore. Last week, she was in the town of Klamath in the far north end of the district, meeting potential voters.
Hey, can I have a
lift? Sure. Get
sure.
Bill,
you be careful with me.
Oh, I will. Hi. You'll be turning around?
No, just this way.
The first thing most people notice about Alioto is that she's in a wheelchair. A ski lift accident when she was 13 left her without the use of her legs. She brings a sunny personality and a reputation for tenacity to her latest challenge. One important issue for Alioto is the environment. The first district includes the Headwaters Forest, the last large tract of old-growth redwood on private lands. It was acquired in 1985 by a Texas junk bond financier who's been battling with environmentalists ever since for the right to log it. Alioto says before her family got into politics, they were fishermen, until that industry all but died, a demise she says was hastened by lax logging practices. She believes the Headwaters battle represents the kind of reckless development that will lead to fewer timber jobs.
Once they have completely taken every resource they can from the land, they will leave and go back to Texas, not having cared one way or the other what happened to not only the land, but the jobs and the people left behind.
Riggs says he's tried to broker a land swap to save the 3,000-acre forest, but environmentalists are demanding protection for 20 times that acreage, which he says is out of the question. The controversy has already prompted another outside group to jump into the race. In July, the League of Conservation Voters named Riggs to the top tier of its Dirty Dozen list and promised an intense grassroots and media campaign in his district. But Riggs comes to the race with some powerful and well-financed Washington allies of his own. The business alliance, known simply as the Coalition, made up of industry groups and their supporters, will have its own independent campaign. Spokesman Lonnie Taylor says the Riggs race is critical for maintaining a business-friendly majority in the House.
We are committed to responding as much, if not more so, than what the AFL-CIO and the trial lawyers and others have done. This includes ads that we're prepared to run, as well as using the grassroots from the many organizations that are part of this coalition to help in getting that message out.
Riggs has some natural advantages as the incumbent, and he's making sure voters know how many federal dollars he's been able to bring home, thanks to his seat on the House Appropriations Committee. Especially popular is the $40 million Veterans Hospital for Travis Air Force Base. And the Eliotto campaign has suffered some first-time stumbles. A staffer was caught impersonating a journalist to get information about Riggs. Eliotto was forced to admit she failed to vote in 1994 and 95. Riggs also notes that Eliotto just arrived in the area last fall and says she's too young to represent the district.
And I think I'm obviously that person. I don't think my young opponent, who appears to be very earnest, is prepared for these kind of responsibilities. So I think ultimately that's what the decision's going to be in the minds of First District voters.
Eliotto's heard these criticisms before. She admits not voting was a mistake, but rejects the carpetbagger label, saying her family worked in the district for generations. And she wonders if her age would even be an issue if she were a man.
Al Gore was 29 when he entered Congress. We have Patrick Kennedy there now at 28. We have had no women in Congress in their 20s yet. The youngest female has been 32. If women ever want to become chairpeople of committees or subcommittees, we need to get involved at an earlier age.
There are signs that the Riggs camp feels it's in for a very tough fight. Unlike most races, where the incumbent coyly evades meeting his challenger, this time it's Riggs who's calling for a series of debates and Eliotto who's trying to limit their joint appearances. Both candidates say they're hoping the campaign won't turn ugly, but they're prepared if it does. They're just hoping that their own messages, carefully tailored to fit this varied and volatile district, don't get lost in the blizzard of national ads and money that's heading their way. I'm Peter Kenyon reporting.